Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 19, All the Madam's Men. Guys, Ada wants to be a real girl. We're going to talk about that and lots more. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yes. My gosh. So this one was fun. This one was a lot of fun.
This episode was fun. I think last episode was a little more action-packed. This one was kind of cool.
The last one had an exploding building. This one had, like, an exploding car. So that gives you a sense of scale in terms of, like, level of action.
I think the highlight of this one was Ada flying out the window. I think
personal favorite moment.
Who I would just like to say the news also referred to her as Guy.
The hashtag fake news.
Allegedly.
The alternative facts news.
We don't even know which the real world is anymore. Like, I'm not really
You don't
that
know
certain.
If the Matrix world is now the real world?
I don't know. At this point, I'm at a situation where it's like, would I even take the blue pill? Like,
it's
I don't
hard
know.
To tell. It's hard to say. Well, it doesn't help that every time we cut back to the real world, it keeps cutting to the two people who aren't real people at the moment.
There
it
you go.
Cuts to Ada and it cuts to the superior, who is currently a man whose brain is in a robot body, kind of. So it's
Can
hard
we stop
to say.
Calling him the superior yet?
I'm going to keep doing it because I'll be honest, I forgot his name.
He's inferior and he has like an inferiority complex. And I don't know what his beef with Coulson is, but he really kind of, like, I feel like he needs some Tai Chi or yoga or something. Like, calm down.
At this point, I feel like it's programmed into him.
I don't know. I don't think so, because like other things are programmed into him, but that hate comes from nowhere. Like, let it go.
Well,
bro.
It was explained back before the month-long break. But anyway, before we get any further, hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about All the Madam's Men. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Taran.
I'm the only person to the left. So it, like, just slides over to me, and I am Taran, literally, at I am Taran all across the social atmosphere. That's Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever you have, I've got, and I am Taran. Find me.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. We are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel, as well as keeping an eye on the live chat once I develop my inhuman ability to be able to enhance and magnify. Perfect.
Zach and Jeff aren't here, so... Our
Did
help
you
desk.
Say Jeff?
No.
Zach and Jesse.
Jesse. Did I say Jeff? I meant Jesse.
Yeah, sadly.
It's been so long.
It has been a
Jesse
long time
has been
since
gone.
The
I don't
four
even
of
remember
us
this
have been
guy.
Together. Jesse has a show tonight, guys, so be sure to send him tweets wishing him the best of luck. And sadly, Zach is not feeling well. He's feeling under the weather. Please tweet him your well wishes. And don't tweet either of them spoilers. Give them a chance to watch the episode.
So back to the superior's reason for hating Coulson real quick. Do you remember what that reason is?
Yes.
Okay. It was never fully developed. I don't care.
It was. It was given an explanation, but it's one of those things where Coulson was like, wow, like, that was so long ago. I don't even remember it fully. And also, who cares? It was a very M. Bison, like, but for me, it was Tuesday.
That's what I'm saying.
Basically, May and Coulson killed some of the Superior's comrades. And then also, with all of the Avengers stuff, I guess the Superior, again, with his inferiority complex, he got real insecure about all the Inhumans. And basically, he traced every weird... cataclysmic event
back to
Coulson, the guy that killed all his friends. So for him,
not all his friends, just a couple of his friends, and more importantly, the superior's killed every
comrade.
The superior's killed every single person he's ever met.
Like, that's just also
killed,
true.
Like, he's killed every.
He's
like,
killed multiple comrades himself. Yes,
that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, because I just don't understand how artificial superior is still harboring this hate.
Because Ada has allowed him to keep his emotions, I think is a way to just torture him. Because as we've seen, Ada's pretty sadistic when she wants to be.
I love her. Listen, Ada is now my number one.
Ada is bae?
I am bae. She is May. She is Jay. I don't even, she's everything. Mm-hmm. And she's everything in one. I love Ada. I love this Ada.
Now, here's the question. Is it the attitude and the ruthlessness, the cutthroat way she goes about dealing with the situation to accomplish her goal of becoming a real person? Or is it just that green hair and that green outfit?
I mean, the way you put it the first time made it seem way more noble than me just saying she's really attractive. But yeah, actually, I love the strength and character. And I also like the ruthlessness and harshness. Even though that's not something I would typically like, it's the way she's displaying it. And most importantly, the thing I like about Ada is that she's really doing all of this for love. She wants to be a real girl just so she can have Fitz.
Well,
as I call Fritz. By the way,
the framework fits. Fritz. Yes.
Framework fits. Who, by the way, is still the coolest guy on the planet.
Is that why you're wearing a suit tonight?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
For those of you listening on iTunes, that was a visual gag of Taran stroking his hat in the same way Fitz strokes his hair. Or Fritz.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying is Fritz to me is a great character. I think possibly the best villain that the show has ever seen.
I feel like that's a fair assessment. I feel like everybody's going to have their favorite from, like, over the course of the entire series. But turning Fitz into a villain for this particular arc was a stroke of genius, especially because that same ruthlessness and cutthroat attitude that we see from Ada, because, again, she's so determined in her goal that she'll find loopholes in her programming to accomplish, to avoid a paradox and everything like that. We see that in Fitz as well. And we see that both as a result of Ada keeping him really close as Ophelia, and also her creating this construct of his father in the framework, who is a ruthless son of a bee. Like, the two of them together have created this version of Fitz, and it's fascinating to watch.
Well, I know there's so much to talk about. Is there anywhere you want to start? Because I have so much to say about this episode.
About Fitz in particular?
Especially about Fritz and the father. I have okay.
We can go ahead and dig into that, and then we'll go back.
Okay,
and
we'll go back. When the father comes in and basically looks like he's about to attack Fritz, and Fritz kind of flinches.
Yeah.
He flinches, and you can still see that even with all this power, he's still like a little boy in front of his father. But then he maintains it and doubles back and snaps back.
Doubles down.
Yeah, and he's like, I can't tolerate failure. You're right. Even from my own father.
Exactly.
And I love that.
He doubles down.
That's why I like the new Fritz. The old Fitz was still afraid of his father in the real world, and his father wasn't even around. This one stands up to his father, who's ruthless, more violent than Fritz. And Fritz is like, I don't care. I'm the boss.
Well, what we see here in these interactions is years of abuse coming to, and you have to really hand it to Ian DeKestecker. Because it's all there. It's all in his performance. Because you have in that moment where he recoils from his father, and we know for a fact, in the previous episode, his dad just casually mentioned giving him a few, like, disciplinary, I guess? I don't know. He mentions casually inflicting harm on his son as he was growing up. So, like,
father definitely beat... I mean, you saw how he beat...
Yeah, how he beat Radcliffe, for sure.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Well, especially... Well, again, Radcliffe was also saying you're nothing... Like, you are nothing without your son. This all stems from his own insecurities.
Like, true.
It's interesting that in the real world, his father's insecurities manifest itself through alcoholism and straight up abandoning his family.
Sure.
And here in the framework, it is manifested by basically being a weird domineering parent instead, because Fitz's one regret was that his father wasn't around. And now with his father around, we see that turned out way for the worse. But it again, it's fascinating. And again, just fantastic performances all the way around.
I thought it was excellent. The conflict between Fritz and father, and then the father taking out his anger on Radcliffe. With Radcliffe pushing his button, sure, but that was more than just the Radcliffe comment. That was his anger towards Fritz. It was his anger about being told who he could have become, in a way.
Well, it also, it's something we see a lot when it comes to villainous father figures, in the way that they raise their children. Like, I remember a story arc in Batman Beyond being very similar, where yes. you have an antagonist who has raised their son to be just as bad as they are, son or daughter or whatever. And ultimately, by doing that, you become the architect of your own destruction because you taught your kid to be just as ruthless as you, and to teach your kid that, like, hey, you're the weak one now. I need to dispose of you. Thanks for teaching me everything you know. Bye.
You set up your own demise. And actually, you know what? Watching Fritz's father actually brought up a lot of, you know, concern about my own father, because they're very similar.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, by very similar. My dad also.
They both have Scottish accents?
No, my dad has an accent, though. And so I was like, my dad has an accent. I mean, yeah, he'd never beat me or any of that stuff, but accent. Accent.
Accent and accent.
Accent. Because, you know, Fritz's father has a Scottish accent, you know? Can we discuss that? Can we discuss how we just never knew Fritz's background stories that his father? No, because it's one thing to be Scottish and like, oh, it's generations ago. This is just got here Scottish. And then Fritz. So yeah. It was just interesting.
Well, and Fritz composes like himself Fritz in a way where he's very deliberate with his speech. So the accent is less pronounced. It's there, but it's far less pronounced because he's suppressing all
exactly.
of that emotion.
It's like, wow, now we know.
Second generation, yeah.
Now I know.
Then and knowing is half the battle.
Thank you, G.I. Joe reference.
Speaking of cruel and cutthroat things to do, let's get back to the beginning of this episode, because I think, personally, it was a really cruel thing of the show to do, to basically rub it in our faces that Jeffrey Mace is dead. The Patriot is dead no more. He has shuffled off this mortal coil.
I'm still hoping he comes back.
And they rubbed it in our faces.
I'm still hoping somehow he comes back.
Apparently, I don't know, and maybe this would be better for news and gossip, but there are a couple articles that people tweeted at us earlier in this week that, I will be honest, I did not read because I wanted to avoid spoilers, but it seems like supposedly the creators of the show have confirmed that he is in fact dead.
What do they know? They didn't even know they were going to have another season.
Okay. Want to cling on to the hope that he's still alive.
I do.
He's just in a coma somewhere.
Because now it made us like him. Like,
exactly.
Even the people who didn't like him, after watching the alternative Mace, like him. He's likable. He has become the person who he wanted to be in the real world.
He died being the hero that he always wanted to be. And here's the thing, is that this is a double-edged sword, because I liked the character of Mace and I liked his character arc a lot. And I think it is a fitting end for him to die a hero. But there's also that part of me that, like, really wants him to still be alive. But if he is alive, it undercuts the stakes a lot.
A lot.
By killing him off, it's a reminder that our heroes can die in this scenario, and that once Ada finds a way, she can do away with them. Once she determines that they're a threat to the framework, she can do away with all of them without a second thought. And it's a reminder, or that, like, she doesn't even have to do it directly, that they could just die by being in the wrong place at the wrong time within the framework. And when you're trying to save the world, there's a good chance you could be at the wrong place at the wrong time very, very easily.
I feel like people weren't that sad over Mace's death. I just didn't feel grief. I felt people were more sad that now the Resistance lost a leader, possibly, but no one was like, oh no, not him. We loved him. I didn't feel that.
You know what? I was kind of expecting Ward's backstory, you know, framework Ward's backstory to be that Mace was the one that believed in him. But like, it really surprised me that Victoria Hand was the one that kind of pulled him out and made him believe he could be a better person.
And we know
person.
What happened between him and Victoria.
Yeah, he kind of, we don't know what happened to in this world, but it is
in the real world.
In the real world, he super murdered her because he was an awful traitor and a terrible person. But it, you know, it's one of those things where it's like that's an interesting turn for the framework to take. And again, it makes me wonder whether or not they had plans for Garrett this season. But again, neither here nor there. But yeah, I was expecting it to be Jeffrey Mace, actually, the one.
Something more, something of a connection. But to me, they actually didn't show a stronger connection with Mace and everybody on the show. Even Gemma and Skye, who you refer to as Daisy.
That's because it's her name.
Allegedly. Even Gemma and Skye were both just, they were concerned, but they weren't upset.
I think part of that is that it's one of those things where you, as May put it, you can't really mourn in the moment. It's a reminder that all of their lives are on the line and that they can properly mourn when they get everyone out of this situation. And because Daisy goes, we lost one. Where, you know, again, when you're very mission-oriented, it's like, okay, we have a fallen comrade, but we still need to save everyone else. We can be sad and raise a glass when this is all over. But I think the main thing, I feel like there were two main points to killing off Mace besides just a reminder that the stakes are high. And that's, for one, for Coulson to be able to step up and reassume his role as the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And which he did. Flawlessly pick up that mantle of leadership. He was dropping knowledge and dimes and fortune cookie information every chance he got.
If
it was Clark amazing.
Gregg wants to be a newscaster when this is all over, I will tune in every day.
I was gonna say if he wants to be president of the United States, but sure. I mean, tomato tomato, I guess.
Same difference. I feel like the other thing was to get May in a certain frame of mind for rejoining S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, because having been such a loyal Hydra agent, it's created a new regret for her, and her regret is not seeing through Hydra's lies a lot earlier, because this man died, you know, to save her and children along with the rest of his team. So she feels guilty because he is dead as a direct result of her actions. Even, you know, people can make whatever excuses they want in terms of I didn't know, you know, they lied to me, whatever. But at the end of the day, she gave the order and that building came down on top of him. And so she has to wrestle with that. And it's going to be even worse when she gets back to the real world, too. So there's that. But it also served a purpose of getting her back in with S.H.I.E.L.D. Granted, she's the odd man out at the moment, having been with Hydra for so long. But being around Coulson again, that's what's going to make her remember. And that's what's going to allow her to see through, you know, the rest of this facade.
Well, they obviously have an immediate attraction, connection between May and Coulson. Also with May, it's interesting how Ada had put them into these roles, like the protector, the warrior, and she labeled her the warrior. And May, even in this situation where she did order the attack, she isn't as upset that Mace is dead that is she ordered an attack on children. And if we remember, even to begin with, the entire world comes to be because she wants to protect a child. There's a child involved that she ends up actually successfully protecting that child in this world,
and
which causes
the
destruction.
And it results in the death of more children.
Exactly. And that's what it all drives around children, which I still have the secret hope that May is Skye's mom. I know, okay? I've watched every season too. I'm just saying that I can still hope. Because, Megan, Megan wants to destroy everything I hope for. She's like, it's no, true. You know, the writer said no, or you know, they had an entire episode, season about how she's not the mom.
I allow Tyrone to tell me his hopes and dreams and to give me lists of all the fan fiction he's written, and then I squash it.
She's like, that's impossible. And I'm like, yeah, but it'd be nice.
You know what I do? I go, well, actually.
She does. She does that. She does that. She does the well, actually. She does the well, actually. And the thing is, I want to say in the Marvel Universe, in the MCU, anything is possible. All they got to do is put in a line how, oh, actually, and then boom, something happens. But I think it's interesting that May has such an affinity towards children.
Yeah.
Because she seems like the least likely to have a child or raise a child.
Well,
or
I think
like pets.
I think it's because she and Andrew never had children.
Interesting.
But also, you know, for one, she's just a good person in general.
Really? Because she killed like 54 people in this episode without even thinking. She was like, pop, 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 pop. Did a flip. She did a flip.
It's really awesome watching these episodes with closed captioning, because at one point when someone's neck got snapped, it literally said Nick cracks. Yeah.
Crack. Boom.
Thank you for confirming that guy is, yeah, that was a Mortal Kombat finisher move. For sure.
It's just interesting. It's interesting to me to see that even Ada picks up their true personalities still reveal themselves within a framework which is built
within a false reality
to suppress their natural states of being. So it's interesting. It says something about the soul. It says something about our personalities. It says something about nurture versus nature.
Exactly. You know, because there's a lot to be said about people becoming products of their environment. And we see that with Fitz a lot. Like, obviously our Fitz wouldn't be the Fitz that wouldn't be framework Fitz.
I actually disagree with that. I think your Fitz would be Fritz if given the proper opportunity. And that's why it's so easy for Fritz, even knowing by the end of this episode, knowing that there's another world, knowing that there's somewhere else.
Well, here's the thing, is that I feel like a big theme about this season is a lot of nature versus nurture. There's the obvious political commentary that is the underlying current of literally everything about this Hydra-driven society.
Yes.
Mirroring our current society, for sure. And then the third thing is that anybody and everybody has the capacity for both good and evil. And we see that in the form of Fritz and Ward. And as much as I despise real-world Ward, this version of Ward seems to... I still think he has a lot of sociopathic tendencies, but... Because of the one person who believed in him, Victoria Hand, it completely altered his path. So again, anyone and everybody has the capacity for good and evil. Ultimately, it's your choice.
I like what you said a lot. I find it interesting that you have such a disdain for real world Ward.
Yeah. He was a monster.
I think he was misunderstood.
He was a monster. He was a sociopathic monster. Who turned into a zombie alien monstrosity.
Sure.
Who turned into a literal alien monster.
But if you look past all of that.
If you look real deep,
besides the betrayal and the killing of everyone that trusted him, there was a heart there. Someone who had loyalty to the person who also first believed in him.
Here's the thing.
And that's where his loyalty lie. And in this one, it happened to be Victoria Hand.
The problem is, in the real world, because of the person who believed him in him in the real world being an evil person, an evil self-serving person, as a result of that and his abusive upbringing, he never was able to take responsibility for his own actions. With somebody having more positive influences in his life, I feel like this version of Ward did take responsibility for his actions, because real world Ward was always deflecting. Oh, it's Shield's fault. Oh, it was Garrett's fault. Oh, it was my brother's fault. Oh, it was my parents' fault. Oh, it was, Coulson's fault. He was always deflecting. And I feel like this version of Ward took responsibility for the terrible thing he had done and then moved on. At least that's what I think. There's also something to be said about the worst circumstances bringing out the best in people.
Interesting.
Not to sound super nerdy, but I'd like to make an Undertale comparison.
I don't think you can sound any more nerdy. It's fine.
There's a video game where if you take the pacifist route, all of the characters around you are jerks until you bring them around, and then you're like, they're like, oh, you're pretty cool.
What game is
but,
this?
Undertale. And then, but if you go the negative route, where you decide to kill everybody and everything, all of the characters decide, hey, we're going to stand up to this evil person that's just going through and killing, senselessly. And so you see the best in everybody.
That reminds me of Mario Brothers. If Mario and Luigi just took the time out to talk to Bowser,
all those turtles
and
ghosts.
Guys, what are we even fighting about? Very interesting.
Okay. Well, sorry, guys, that was a tangent. We got to bring it back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I will say this. Well, you also brought up the political climate, which is very interesting, because in the beginning it was very Hunger Games.
It was very capital with the Bakshi report.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't Sunil like Bakshi. I don't like Bakshi as a character, but it's adorable to see him again because we haven't seen him since he died in season two. So it was cool seeing him again, and it makes so much sense that this guy who was in charge of brainwashing people for Hydra would be put
as the main
mouthpiece for Hydra.
Well, the media
correspondent. Exactly.
He's the main media correspondent where everyone obviously watches this show, and it reminded me of Hunger Games, and it's interesting to me how politics and politicians and the government use truths often to spread lies, and that in art, TV shows, movies, comic books use lies to actually tell the truth.
To tell the truth.
And it's just very interesting that
Have I heard that before? I've heard something very similar.
Vita Vendetta.
That was it.
Very V for Vendetta.
It was very V for Vendetta. Thank you, Neil.
Neil was the voice of God. But it's a real, I'm sure that they said it in V for Vendetta in a much more concise way.
It's a valid script, point to bring up, especially because that story has to deal a lot with a dystopian tyrannical society with a news mouthpiece that just, uses alternative facts in an interesting way.
And I think it's interesting that this is how things are done, and we're seeing this being reflected in this show.
Yeah, which again, it's so they just had their season four wrap party not that long ago, and so it's very interesting to see how quickly the world that we're living in was incorporated into this season. Which I am all for. It can be a little bit on the nose sometimes. Like, it was pretty on the nose in the last episode. But you know what? I'm okay with it because the world we live in is pretty messed up right now.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I'm not one way or the other specifically. I just enjoyed the fact that they did incorporate it so quickly.
I do too.
And had a point of view when this show didn't have to.
Yeah, I've always appreciated the commentary that S.H.I.E.L.D. has given, and in this season, I feel like it's particularly relevant. But before we move on, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We absolutely love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. It helps keep us at these desks. It helps keep the lights on. And again, we love the fact that we have an international audience. Like, that always that always blows my mind. So thank you guys so much. And the guys who stay up in the live chat until 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 6 in the morning, you guys are incredible. But again, if you guys go to iTunes, you might even get a shout out on the show. Neil, do we have any new comments this week?
I believe we do.
Thank you, Neil.
Cool, cool. Could you do me a solid and maybe give some shout-outs?
Sure, sure, sure. No problem. I have a review from Totally Addicted 05. Great show, great hosts, 5 Aww. Stars. Rock on. Let's see some fanfic from these great hosts. Keep it up, team.
I got you. I got you.
Great season of the show. Great AfterBuzz after show talk. And that was from Totally Addicted 05.
That's awesome.
I also have Ali Ali Sunshine. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Thank you. 5 stars. Just want to say thanks. I'm currently deployed overseas with the military and no one
Thank
else
you for
here,
your service.
No one else here watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I found your podcast last week in an effort to discuss the craziness that happened in last week's episode. You guys are funny and insightful and definitely provide the conversational analysis that is necessary after watching this show. Love the puns, too.
Ugh.
Needless to say, I'm now hooked after 2 shows. I'm also excited to be a part of your international audience, at least for the time being. Thanks again, and see you next week.
I love that.
Thank you for your service. Thank you so much.
That's great, and it's nice to know that because of us, a person in the armed forces is getting beat up every week after watching the show. Like, you're such a nerd. Alley Alley Sunshine.
No, that's probably one of my favorite things is people saying that they don't have anybody else to talk to, and so that's one of the reasons why, in terms of talking about this show, and that's why they love listening to us. That always fills my heart with a lot of joy. So
you always have us, guys. You always have
us. You do.
And by us, I mean her. Don't contact me.
Tweet at her. Talk to me.
If you write Daisy in a tweet to me, you will be blocked, okay? Sky only. Everyone who writes me about Sky, they're on board.
You know what? You're right. Daisy isn't the right term. It's Quake because she's back.
She is back. And that's another thing you wanted to talk about.
I do. Do we have any more shout-outs?
We have a few. I'm not sure how much you want to go through.
Go ahead and just give the blurb, the name, and that should be fine. Well, we got to blow through them. We're running short on time.
All right. I have Senorita Shield. She says, 5 stars, watching since 2013.
Aww.
I have apologized for this pronunciation. I have Schwer. 5 stars, great podcast. AK DeGeorge, best AfterBuzz show. 5 Aww. Stars.
That's a truth, though. That's a...
I have A Master E. Getting to that fan fiction. 5 stars.
I cannot wait.
People want, I'm telling you, I have stories that need to be told. I have stories that need to be told. In my world, May is Sky's mother. Phil, and you gave me this idea, Phil is the father.
That was literally our theory like 3 seasons ago.
And it's gonna be fan fiction fact next year. So I'm letting you know.
In another world, it's how it happened.
So it's just great. It's great. Thank you guys all for listening.
Yeah, you guys are the absolute best. Thank you guys so much. Neil, I believe that was it, right?
2 more real quick.
Okay, cool.
5 stars, yo, from Alan the Bright Posey. And great review show. 5 stars from DK Momentum.
You guys are the best. Thank you so, so much. Thank you so much, Neil. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to help.
You guys are the best. This is what happens when Zach isn't here, because he's always the one who brings in the computer.
Zach and Jeff. Good old Jeff.
Good old Jeff.
Good old Jeff.
Good old what's-his-face. But let's talk about the fact that Quake is back, because I loved it wasn't quite Buddy Cop, but I loved the dynamic of May and Quake / Daisy. / not Sky, in this episode. It really hurt. I'm sorry. It really hurts you every time I say boo to Sky.
I love Sky. Like, even though Ada's number one, Sky will forever be my side chick. Like, Like, if I could have sister wives, it would be Ada and Scott.
Oh, my God.
That would be my perfect world.
That
would be my framework.
It would be, it'd be a very interesting situation then if you were in that hallway when Daisy blasted her out of that window.
Yeah.
Which I was actually surprised that her body in the framework was actually able to be damaged. Because she basically logs out and allows her avatar to remain injured so that Fitz will finish.
Of course she's damaged.
Project looking
framework,
glass.
She's a real person. She's not Ada. It's her consciousness.
It's Ophelia, yeah.
Yeah, Ophelia's body. So my thing is this. What I didn't understand about Quake's power, because she became Quake after the Terrigen, right? Why did her bones not ache like in the real world? Like, how was she able to not feel that pain?
I mean, she probably did. The thing is that
she didn't show it in the other episodes. She would show it.
That's fair. But in at the beginning of this season, when she needed to take the pills, and she was generally acting really reckless. In terms of her abilities and in terms of being able to use her powers and actively throwing herself into situations where she wasn't taking care of herself. Here, after her transformation, one, she knows this body isn't real. Two, she's also very cognizant of what her body is capable of and what her powers and her limitations are. If you noticed, she didn't use her powers all that much in this episode. I only counted like 3 or 4 blasts. One was to throw Ada out the window.
One was the bomb,
and I think there were a couple for the Hydra agents. They were all very small, controlled blasts. It's not like, a couple episodes ago where she did that very anime, like, huge blast where it definitely would have hurt her. So I feel, and, like, it's not like she went in, like, powers blazing. I feel like they were very controlled, deliberate attacks as opposed to just kind of going crazy, especially since she just got them too. Her body's in a weird state of not equilibrium, so she's like, whoa, it's like a hangover with bees, which I think is probably the best explanation I've ever heard for a Terrigenesis hangover.
I enjoyed the fact that she was able to control her power so quickly, and that when May asked her, she was like, she wanted to explain,
she's like,
but
I
she
can't
didn't.
Even
she's
get
like,
into it.
You know what? Yeah. And that was the end of that. That was the end of that. It was a very good situation because it built a trust between May and Sky. And that carried over to where when Matt comes in holding the gun because it's true. Like, how do we know that this wasn't set up by Hydra? Just
that's
to
true.
Infiltrate. I mean, that's possible, right?
Yeah, we know for a fact that this is, that this is getting through to May.
It is.
But, like, they had no way of
they
knowing
had no
it,
idea.
Especially
no way.
With how cutthroat and cunning May had been in the previous episode.
Setting her up with Mac to begin with. Mac
exactly.
Was set up. So when Mac
using
was
Mac
that
against
gun,
her. Ugh.
And then Phil, of course, Coulson steps in. And does his Coulson thing where he just somehow with his voice is able to calm down. Like, he's so good. He can be calm, and then you feel worse than if someone yelled at you.
It's the very parental. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even though I think technically, I think theoretically, Coulson is an inhuman, and that's his power.
And that's actually
that's
his superpower.
His superpower is to make you do as he says through convincing you through words.
There's a scene earlier in the episode too where he and Ward are having this discussion. And he's basically telling Ward not to overreact with emotion and not to overreact and to not let emotion cloud his judgment. And for one, he's being very calm.
Yes.
He doesn't remember what actually transpired between him and Ward. But did you notice that when he's communicating to Ward, he put his hand on his chest and said, you need to not let emotion cloud your judgment. And I just sat there and went, oh, my gosh.
Interesting.
Because you crushed him in a fit of rage. And that decision ended up coming back to bite you because of Hive. So I just thought that was a very I thought that was a wonderful blocking choice. I thought that was a wonderful, very subtle, hey. Like, anybody who's been watching this series for a little while knows, it was very subtle, but, like, if you've been paying attention, you know how powerful that moment was.
Ivan Soto, let's give him a shout-out, because apparently he wasn't shouted out in last night's podcast. So I'm shouting out Ivan Soto just to let him know.
Okay, cool.
That we're actually paying attention to the live chat as we go along. And can I say something really quick about Agent Coulson?
Sure.
Because he all of a sudden became Agent Coulson Shield as he stole.
He stepped it up.
Mace's Shield badge and flashed it. Can we talk about that? Are we going to just let him get away with stealing dead
well,
Jeffrey
we don't
Mace.
Actually know if that's what.
That was
if that's where he got his
that's
badge.
That's where he got. I felt like that's where his badge came from. Because,
literally, we're watching the episode and he pulls out this badge and says, I am an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the world.
Where did he get that badge? Only one badge that I could think of that was just laying around. Some guy who didn't need it anymore.
He just grabbed it out of the rubble.
It's the guy who saved the kids.
Mace is still actually in there. He's like, I'm actually alive. And Coulson's like, my badge.
My badge.
My agency.
So it's just, I just had to throw that little tidbit in there.
No, it was funny. I do want to bring up Simmons and Trips, their mission in this, because they decide to go.
That's actually the most important part of the episode.
Yeah, because they go on a reconnaissance mission, and they ultimately find out the truth behind Project Looking Glass, which is that Ada because of the information Trip was able to bring back, Simmons determines that she is using Darkhold science-y magic to ultimately put her consciousness, to build a human body for herself to put her consciousness in, which I know we talked about as a possibility of her, you know, going into a human body. I was thinking that she was going to hijack an already existing body, building a new body from scratch using evil Darkhold magic. That's a very interesting turn, especially because it means that anybody who's died in the real world, but their consciousness exists in the framework, theoretically, they could have a body rebuilt for
exactly,
them.
Which actually is going to go into my prediction. Which is going into my prediction / fan fiction / hope. So, I have to remember that, okay?
Okay. Let's save it for predictions.
But the Darkhold still comes back to play, and we now know why Fritz is around, because Fritz is figuring it all out.
Which I gotta admit, I missed the holographic table because they used it a lot in season one, and
it's
been very absent. So it was really cool to see Fitz using it again.
It's interesting also how every single artificial intelligent agent, right? So we have all of them, they just want to be real people. Almost in a way. And that theme of Pinocchio keeps coming back. So with Ultron,
there are no strings on me.
Exactly. There are no strings on me. And now we
this
see.
This is what happens when Disney buys you.
I just want to be a real boy. And now we see Ada just wants to be a real girl.
A couple of people in the chat are saying that this means that Ward actually could come back.
That's my prediction. That's my fan fiction prediction. Don't do this. Don't do
trademark
this.
Trademark Tehran.
Okay. You guys have told me not to throw that out before predictions.
I was waiting. I pulled the rug out from under you. I apologize. Yeah.
By the way, Ivan Soto, who got the shout out, has a lot of support in the chat. People are like glad that we shot him out, so I'm giving him another shout out. Ivan, you're the man, Ivan Soto. This episode's actually for you.
Yeah.
So
episode dedicated.
So since the Ward thing already came out, I hope that's a thing.
Especially because we have this scene between him and Daisy.
And there's an opening since Mace
because,
is gone. I'm just saying.
There's an opening on the team again.
I'm just saying.
No. There's a vacancy.
No one else was upset.
You're looking for a job? Well, it also means that potentially Hope could come back as
interesting.
Well. That they could, which I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of moral quandaries because I was okay with them leaving the framework as is and just allowing it to continue existing so that these artificial life forms could just live out their lives. But here's the thing, is that bringing in Ward or Hope or Radcliffe, whoever you want to pull out of the framework into the real world, using Darkhold magic isn't that, you know, messing with dark magic you shouldn't be messing with? Like, yeah, we want Mac and Daisy and all these other people to have happy endings where they don't have to live with, you know, loss, or that, you know, these characters that we're getting attached to within the framework can have a way to come out into the real world and live real lives. Messing with the Darkhold, no good can come from it. So on the one hand, I'm like, hey, that's a really cool possibility. On the other hand, I'm like, remember what happened to the last people who messed with the Darkhold? Remember why Ada and Radcliffe became corrupt in the first place? Remember Robbie?
I don't know if Radcliffe became corrupt because of Darkhold, but Ada, clearly. I think Radcliffe was still
Radcliffe. It's debatable. It's debatable with the way they portrayed it throughout the season. It's debatable whether it was her or whether it was Radcliffe that was corrupted, or both of them. I'm willing to bet both of them, in all honesty.
Radcliffe still seems to be a good guy. Like, he just is really doing it for the science itself.
Yeah, and he's devastated that Agnes is gone, and he's having a terrible time of it.
He's getting tortured.
He's getting tortured.
Let's not forget that he's... We kind of push away Radcliffe to the side. Radcliffe is literally getting tortured and beat up every day.
For the last three episodes, he's been being tortured. After losing the love of his life.
Right after losing the love of his life.
And here, you know, in the previous episode, he gave Daisy a way out. And so it's interesting to see her kind of go through this emotional journey of like, guys, none of this matters. We just need to get out of here. And to have, you know, the only person who would really understand that is Gemma, also having come from the real world. But everybody else, even Coulson, still has attachments to this world.
Of course.
And so ultimately Coulson's decision is, hey, the best way to help ourselves is to save the world.
Very Coulson problem solving is save this world, save both. We can do good all the way around.
Loved the string accompaniment because it was just a little bit of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. theme, and it's like, it's Coulson coming back.
Coulson's back.
The only other thing I want to bring up before we go into predictions is just, we kind of skipped over it a little bit. I just love seeing Trip again. I feel a lot like Daisy, and just like when she learns that he's alive in this world, she's like, that's the best news I've heard in weeks. This is fantastic.
Everyone likes Trip. Trip's a...
Well, initially when Trip was introduced, I was totally shipping him and Gemma, in all honesty, because Gemma and Fitz were having that will they, won't they. Gemma and Ward had been flirting a little bit.
So you were hoping for Trip and Gemma?
I was.
Megan, you just moved up in my book.
She got all for Clint anytime she was chit-chatting with him, and she took his death particularly hard. So I was like, come on, like... I was really hoping for it, and then Trip died, and I was really sad. Yeah. But anyway, so I liked, for one, that they were the ones to go out on this mission together, and two, that he's just so charming. It's just really nice to see him back. And if anybody deserves to come back from the framework, it's certainly Trip.
So the chat's going live about the Easter eggs, the number 084 and an obelisk. Did you see that?
You know what? I will be honest. I missed a lot of the Easter eggs. And 084 is just an unidentified object. That's something that, you know, it was a very season one thing for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I missed the obelisk completely. Yeah. If you guys want to comment below.
They will.
Yeah, if you guys want to comment below, feel free to list literally all of the Easter eggs we missed, because I feel like I would have to go back and rewatch this episode. And that's kind of the bad thing about doing an after show immediately after you see the episode, is that sometimes you don't have time to go back and take a look at all that stuff. But yeah, there are lots of Easter eggs in this season, and I can't wait to watch it all again and catch everything. So
So the Easter eggs were apparently in the Coulson and Ward scene. So we always rewatch and love watching it. So thank you guys for always telling us.
Yeah, feel free to send us screen caps too.
Please.
Yeah. All right. It's getting late, so we should probably go ahead. Is there anything else you want to say about this week's episode before we move on into
predictions? I thought it was fun, and the previews for the next week looked amazing. So
they do.
This is a great story arc, by the way.
Yeah.
It could have been horrible. It really could have been. It could have been so cliche and done, just overdone and done, oh, not this again, and the dream sequence again. But it's actually done extremely well. Extremely well.
I concur with that assessment. I this could have been a very half-hearted Matrix, ripoff. But no, they have taken a lot of care, not only in their political, the current political commentary, but they've also taken a lot of care to give a lot of weight to their scenes and everything to everybody who's been watching this series from the beginning. This portion of the series is in a lot of ways a love letter to everybody who's been watching from the beginning, who stuck with the show through that rocky beginning and stayed with it ever since. I feel like this is very much a tribute to them. And I'm not going to lie, as somebody who also, sat through that rocky beginning, I very much appreciate it for sure. All right, let's go ahead and move on into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions. Ooh.
So, Ada wants to be a real girl.
Yes.
The Superior super wants to murder everybody.
Yes.
Which that's so frustrating for him. And in the next episode, it looks like it's possible that she's actually going to try to bring Project Looking Glass into fruition and like actually execute her plan.
So I think that Ada does become a real person. I think that Fritz comes into the real world also unbeknownst. Ugh. And that this is not the end of Fritz in the real world. I think that...
What would that even do to him? Oh, man.
I feel like Fitz will also exist, so they coexist. I feel that the Superior is going to try to kill Coulson, and of course Coulson wakes up in the nick of time and saves himself.
You know what I'd actually really like? It was something I actually wrote down because he asked her point blank if he would be allowed to kill them once they were both free, and she told him yes. She's not supposed to lie as part of her programming, but Radcliffe told her that lying was okay if it was to save a life. She threw in his face a couple episodes ago. And so I feel like she's lying to him in that. Like, oh yeah, I'm just going to tell you what you want to hear.
Is it possible that the Superior, could not hurt any of the agents, but is he allowed or able to hurt Ada?
I don't think so. She built him, so she probably put that in within the parameters.
That's interesting.
But yeah, I'm excited. Next week, it looks really good. Any other thoughts or predictions?
No, I just think that we're going to... Fritz is too good. We can't lose Fritz. And Fritz, in the real world, is a real possibility. I feel that Fritz, Ada, and Ward make it out.
I would hope... If we're going to do that, I would hope Trip and Hope make it out.
Sorry, Hope.
Here's the problem, though, guys. And again,
a man crush on Trip, so I don't need Trip to make it out.
Him too.
I know you do.
But here's the thing is, and I'm going to call myself out as a huge nerd again, I feel like trying to create a human body with the Darkhold could very easily turn into a Full Metal Alchemist situation, and I don't need that kind of body horror in my life. I don't need that kind of heartbreak. I feel like trying to use the Darkhold to create human life, I feel like that's a very monkey's paw scenario. Like, that is not going to work out in the way that Ada anticipates. Which, again, is really sad if that means nobody from the framework can come back in a new body. So we shall see.
We shall see.
But anyway, I think that just about does it for tonight. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, do we have any, what do we do, teasers? News
and gossip? Not tonight.
Nothing?
We're at it. There's been stuff, but we're out of time tonight,
okay.
I'm afraid.
Okay.
Thank you to everybody who stayed up in the live chat to sit and talk to this episode with us. It was it was a lot of fun. Once again, Tehran, where can people go if they want to find you?
I am Tehran all across the social atmosphere, usually the bathroom heartthrob. Today, oh, I'm sorry. Do you need a Band-Aid?
What?
Because I'm so sharp. I thought you might get cut. That's all I'm saying. At I am Tehran. Find me. Follow me.
This is what happens when you encourage my co-host to make puns. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also follow Jesse and Zach at ThatZachWilson and at JessKlein1. Be sure to follow all of their projects. They are up to a lot of great stuff. And again, tweet them both your well wishes. Thank you guys so, so much. We will be back next week, and hopefully we'll all be here. Thank you guys for sticking with us. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.